This topic we're going into, we're still in Live the Gospel, but we're taking 4 weeks to go through the Holy Spirit, or the term is pneumatology, to really study and the best we can jump in like feet first and just say, God, work. And the hope is that in teaching these passages that we will get an understanding of the Holy Spirit and how he works in our life right now, but that we would also understand that the Holy Spirit is not what some have made it to be. In fact, the hope is that we understand the person of the Holy Spirit as a person, but as God as well, and not just some influence. And so the hope is that I want to read this passage to you from Ephesians chapter 3, verses 14 through 16. And Paul wrote this. This was his prayer to the church for spiritual strength, or to be powered in all things spirituality in regard to Jesus. He says, "For this reason, I bow my knees before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth is named, that according to the riches of his glory, that he may grant you to be strengthened with power through the Holy Spirit, through his Spirit in your inner being." That's Ephesians chapter 3, verses 14 through 16. And that word power, the Greek explanation of that word is dynamis. Some people have called it dunamis, and it comes from the word that we say dynamite. And Paul prays specifically that, listen, I want the Holy Spirit to be like dynamite in your life. I want it to blow everything up in your life. I want you to be so locked in. Like, this is my prayer. And he prayed it in a way that said, look, I'm praying to the God, listen, that according to the riches of his glory, according to the riches of God's glory, God's glory can't be measured. And Paul is praying according to that as an apostle of Jesus Christ, that the church would be strengthened by this dynamite power in their inner being, so that they may carry out the call as followers of Jesus, so that they may be encouraged when discouragement hits, because it will hit. So they may be undergirded with strength to stand strong in moments of weakness. Because you will have moments of weakness. Relationships will get difficult. People will struggle with things within themselves. We live in a fallen world, y'all. And if we don't, as followers of Jesus, rely on the power of the Holy Spirit, the strength of the Holy Spirit, and understand the magnificence, if we can just grab a little bit of it, of what God has given us, so that we are able. It's a blessing, but it also comes with responsibility. So as we jump into these passages, we will be studying the Holy Spirit, and we will be talking about, so like, just let me give you a brief overview. You'll see in verses 6 and 7 that the whole triune God, 6 and 7, right? God the Father is decreeing. Then in verses 9 through 15, that those whole passages are packed with the Holy Spirit and wisdom from the Holy Spirit and how the Holy Spirit operates. And then verses, 7 and 8, and some of the other passages get a little bit more practical, but it talks about Jesus. So you see the Father, you see the Son, you see the Holy Spirit in these passages, and we're going to zoom in on the Holy Spirit. And so there's a lot there. So I don't want you to be caught by surprise or confused. We're really focusing in on the Holy Spirit. Y'all with me? Cool. So I spoke at this church this week, and the one of the ministers of the church, he said, "Hey man, I want you to get here by 6 because the event started at 6:30, He says, so we can pray. And so I was like, cool, you know. So we get there and we talk a little bit, high five, man, good to see you. And then I walk in this room with them, and it's like their green room. And I'm standing in there, and it's him and his assistant, and these two guys are like, hey, man, let's go before the Lord. And so they drop to their knees, and they're praying. And I'm on my knees, and we're praying. And these guys prayed for the next 20 minutes, specifically for this 45-minute event that we were having. And it was a blessing to me how they prayed for this event, including praying for me. But I was also convicted at their heart and humility and willingness to, hey, we're not going to do anything else right now. We're not worried about details right now. We're not worried about who's showing up and who's not showing up. We're not worried about if you got water on the stage or not. Like, we're really focused right now for this next 20, 25 minutes to pray and go before the Lord, because it is the power of His Spirit that anything that we do spiritually, anything that we do, is all dependent upon Him. We are vessels being used. And I was just like blown away, encouraged, but blown away like, God, forgive me. Maybe you're like me. You know, maybe sometimes you God puts you in these situations where you don't really think about the Holy Spirit until it's like, oh, I need it now. And that's kind of a misconception that we've grown to believe, that, oh, now we need the power of the Holy Spirit for this special act, for this need or this depressing time that I'm having, or this job that I need to get, or, man, my children need to be healed. And yes, indeed, we need God to work in those things, but that's not the only time. In the song we just sang, it was, Holy Spirit, you are welcomed here. Fill this place, right? Your presence. If we don't recognize that and make those adjustments, it's hard. We don't ask for Him to come just on Sunday. Lord Jesus, Holy Spirit, like, we need you all week. Like, we need to understand that the power of the Holy Spirit is a ever-present helper, a thing that is all a let me rephrase that. A person that is always available. So when you're sleeping and you're unaware that the Holy Spirit is present, when you're driving and you are distracted, the Holy Spirit is present. When you sin, the Holy Spirit is present. He doesn't leave. Because He's the one who convicts us of sin. All right? So He's present. So some of those misconceptions that we've wrestled with is that the Holy Spirit is just this mystical force that's way out. And it's a large force. It's this influence that is available for folks who are Christians. It's this force that we call up on to get special powers for special times. It's a type of spiritual influence, right? He shows up, and He does His work, and then He's out. That's not biblical. If you're a follower of Jesus, the Holy Spirit is with you every step that you take. And Scripture calls us that we walk in the Spirit, that we keep step, like, alongside with somebody, hand in hand, walking with the Spirit. So it's more than just this one-time thing that happens. We have this idea that it is only for miracles. Right. And we get that from not understanding Scripture and understanding context, or we get that from just looking on the outside, like from the outside looking in and never really dive into this idea. Or we think, and we've been taught, that the Holy Spirit is for more mature people. That baby Christians or followers of Jesus who are new to the faith, They don't have this. They don't have the Holy Spirit. They need to mature and grow in their Christianity more so that they're able to attain and receive the Holy Spirit. Well, that's not biblical. Because at the moment of salvation, every believer is sealed with the promise of the Holy Spirit. You are indwelt with the Spirit. Read Ephesians chapter 1. Actually, it says that we are stamped, that we have this stamp of approval until the day of redemption. Philippians says that he who began a good work in us will finish it, will complete it, to telestai, what Jesus said on the cross, telos as well. Like, these words mean complete until the day of Christ Jesus. That is the power of the Holy Spirit living in us. But those passages then go to chapter 2, and it says that, hey, Paul says, hey, not in my absence, I mean, not just in my presence, because people had this idea of wanting to be more spiritual when the apostle was around, but also in my absence, that you need to work out your own salvation with fear and trembling before the Lord. And so Paul wrote these same chapters in the same book that, hey, yeah, God is going to finish his work, but there is this responsibility that you have to outwork what he worked in. So what about the personhood of the Holy Spirit? So if he's not a, if it's not a it or a force, or this thing that is only for miracles or special moments of opportunity for God to work, then what is it? Well, the Holy Spirit is person. The Holy Spirit is deity. Let me show you what I mean. We can't limit the Holy Spirit to just a force of some type of mystical influence. The Holy Spirit is a person. He is the third person of the Trinity. So when you think about the Holy Spirit, you see personal pronouns. What did Jesus say in John? I will send the Holy Spirit, like the helper. He will convict the world of sin and da da da, right? Like these words refer to him as a person, not it. There's some personalness to the Holy Spirit. He knows things with his mind. Its don't know things with their minds. Y'all get that? Things that are called it, they don't know things with their mind, except for that funny little clown thing. Sorry. Some people think his mind is corrupt and he's evil. So let's get past that. Right. But like, the reality of it is, like, the Holy Spirit knows things with his mind. Or Romans chapter 8, verse 27. Let me pull that up and read it just a second. Romans 8, verse 27 says, I'll start at 26. It says, likewise, the Spirit helps us in our weakness, for we don't know what to pray as we ought, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words. And he who searches the hearts knows the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for the saints according to the will of God. I think I need to keep going just a little bit. And we know that those who, okay, yeah, we know that passage. The Spirit prays for us when we are not able to, when we don't know what we should be praying. The Spirit is the helper that comes alongside and prays. That's grace. That's amazing. So even in my conviction, right? Even in my conviction from, man, I need to pray more. The Holy Spirit knows. And he covers me. Not negligence to say, don't pray, Aaron. But this is God's thing. Do you think God is going to let his thing go bad? So the Holy Spirit covers us. This is God's marriage. Do you think God's going to let his marriage go bad? So the Holy Spirit covers us. This is God's relationship. This is God's church. This is God's everything. So do you think Just because you might see, but do you think that God doesn't have a plan that was already laid out beforehand that says, hey, those who follow me win? And do you think that in that plan, he didn't include the power of the Holy Spirit for us to be able to maintain and excel throughout this time so that we will be victors? Do you think that God would give us a passage like Romans chapter 8, verse 28, and that says things like, you are more than conquerors through Christ Jesus? He's not going to give us promises that he can't keep. So that's why it's important for us to understand and rely on the power of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit prays. The Holy Spirit feels with his emotions. The Holy Spirit can be resisted. He can be grieved. And he can be quenched. Listen what Francis Chan says about this. Francis Chan says, in our culture, having feelings or emotions is equated with weakness. This is a lie that is deeply ingrained in many of us. God created feelings. Sure, like anything else, they can be misused and abused. But the intent and the purpose of feelings came from God. Since he created emotions, why is it difficult to believe that he himself has emotions? The spirit is grieved when there is a breach in relationship. Have you ever had a breach in relationship? Have you ever been grieved? The Holy Spirit can identify. The spirit, when there's a, whether it be a relationship with God or a relationship with other people, when we are disunified, unloving, hateful, jealous, gossipy, etc., that is when we grieve the Spirit of God. And since he is the creator of emotions, I believe that the Spirit grieves more deeply than we can even understand. He has a will to do things that are intentional, that only people can do. He will convict the world of sin. It's or mystical things don't convict the world of sin. People do. And that leads into the next point about his deity. The next point about this is that so we have this idea that there are misconceptions about the Holy Spirit. And then we want to correct some of those misconceptions by identifying the personhood of the Holy Spirit. And is there more that we can dive into? Absolutely. It is. And then but we want to dive into now this the deity of the Holy Spirit. So let me just name some things that are present. The Holy Spirit understands the deep things of God, as says in these passages. Like the Spirit understands the depth of God. The mind of Christ is how we are to function. Like the scripture says that we are to have the same mind that is in Christ Jesus. And the only way we can have that mind is through the working of the Spirit. The Holy Spirit is God. When you go to Genesis chapter 1, it says that what was hovering over the earth? Like the very first page, we see the power of the Holy Spirit hovering over the earth. In Genesis, then we also see the creation of man. And the author said, let us create man in our image and in our liking. Like we are created in the image of God. We are also beings who have inner things that we function with, spiritual. And so we are created in the image of God. And so we function in that way. And so we see that. We see that at the birth of Jesus, who was present? Holy Spirit. At the salvation of a sinner. A man who doesn't know God, who's lived a life however he's pleased, a woman who's ran far away from God and lived a life however she pleased. And I've seen this personally where the Spirit hits those individuals. And that's the only word that I can use to explain what happened. The Spirit just kind of hits them in the chest. And then when the Spirit hits them in the chest, like something happens. That life begins to change. They no longer do the things that they used to do. You can't accredit that to human will, because if you ask them, they will tell you that for years they've tried. If you ask them, they'll tell you that people have prayed. If you ask them, if you go ask an addict who's been clean for years in any form or fashion of addiction, then you go ask him, he's a follower of Jesus, he'll say it was the Lord. That's the power of the Spirit. And then something happens, the regeneration of the person who you were, and now you're a new individual, and the things that you desire is for Jesus. The things that you desire is for advancing his kingdom. Yeah, you struggle, but those struggles now fight against that joy that you have. Before, it was just you. And now something's different. There's a presence of something else that lives within you. You can't do the things that you used to do. And so at the salvation and then the indwelling of the Spirit for everyone who is a believer, and then all things in regard to spiritual life, maturity in the faith, has to do with the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. You cannot grow spiritually on your own in any form or fashion. You do not have the capabilities to do that alone. Can you be disciplined? Absolutely. Can you wake up every morning and read your word? Absolutely. But it's the Spirit of God that is in us that helps us understand the things of God, because naturally our flesh resists the things of God. And if the Spirit is not in there, like still punching and still knocking dirt off of us and still making us new, sanctifying us, setting us apart, we don't have a chance at understanding what God has laid out for us, the depths of the things that God wants to allow us to see. Because Scripture also says that there is no searching of God's understanding in Isaiah chapter 40. And so we don't have a lot. We are carried by the Spirit. The Spirit is what makes us. The Spirit in that verse 10, he searches everything. Make you step back for just a little bit, right? The Spirit of God that lives in us searches everything. Even the depths of God. I don't think you know what you got in you. Like, I don't think sometimes we understand what we have in us as a gift from God to grow us and mature us, that we have the Holy Spirit living in us. Not just like the Holy Spirit who was present at creation, the Holy Spirit that was present at the birth of Jesus, the Holy Spirit that is in every believer, the Holy Spirit that searches everything, but not just everything. He's the research champion, right? So not just everything, but the Holy Spirit searches the deep things of God. And I don't know what the deep things of God are, but I think that that's awesome. That the Holy Spirit searches the deep things of God, and the Holy Spirit lives in me. So although I am weak, and so although I have no capacity to do so, the Holy Spirit can. And God has given him to me. The Holy Spirit is all powerful. Paul described that as, I want you to be strengthened with the power. Paul described that as like dynamite. That word is dynamite. It's over strength, over powerful. Have you ever seen a stick of dynamite? And you see the stick of dynamite, and then they put it inside of a mountain or a building, and they put a lot of them. And then when they ignite that thing, it's game over. That's the word that is used to describe the power of the Holy Spirit. That's the word that is used that Paul uses when he says that, man, I labor and I toil with the power, with his power that he mightily works in me, that I am able to do this. Like, I'm going to wear myself out because I'm just a vessel anyway. But the power of the Holy Spirit is dynamite. Y'all remember that show? I know y'all thinking about it. Some of y'all too young in this room to understand the value that I just laid before you. Go check out Good Times. You'll love it. Plug, right? So Paul is saying, hey, like, this is God. Don't belittle it. Don't just compartmentalize it and place it in this place of the only time I need the Spirit is when something drastic has happened. Yeah, you better understand that you need the Spirit 24/7. And you better understand that we better understand and lock in our hearts that it's not that we just need the Spirit 24/7. It's that God has made it available for us. And that's grace. And so while we're living out the gospel and being called to go ye therefore and make disciples of all nations, God didn't leave us without a helper. So, Paul says that we didn't get the spirit of the world, but we got the Spirit of God. And so in that, Paul is writing to followers of Jesus to help them understand and to make sure to let them know that at the moment of salvation, they were recipients of God through the Holy Spirit. At the moment of salvation, that they received the Holy Spirit. And that they didn't get this spirit of the world, like, just based on worldly wisdom and my own knowledge, and I can do it because I can build it, and if I try hard enough, I'll make it. Like, deeper than that, but like, my intellect is strong enough, so if I think hard enough, I can figure this out, and we can make some adjustments and make some really good plans. Not that planning and adjustments and thinking is wrong, but that God didn't give us that type of wisdom. We use that type of wisdom, but through his Spirit, he gave us a different type of wisdom. I mean, we just said that the Spirit searches the deep things of God. So it's more to this life than the physical world that we see. And so we have this so that we can understand freely the things that God has given. It's in the passage. Like, we God has given us the Spirit, capital S, so that we can understand. Like, it's like, hey, here's a test. Here's the cheat sheet. Make an A. Don't study. You don't even need to study for the exam. I'm giving you the exam. Here he is. He's the Holy Spirit. And all analogies break down. So I'm sure at some point somebody can intellectually say, well, it's not like this. It's not like that. But listen to what I'm saying. I'm saying that God has said, hey, here you go. Here's my Spirit. Go get it. Go live it. Go do it. Go be it. You don't have an excuse, Pastor Aaron. Because I already told you I gave you everything that you need. So what are you waiting for? What are you waiting for to live godly? What are you waiting for to completely submit over to Christ and quit believing the lies that your brain is telling you about yourself? Your brain is faulty because it's impacted by sin. That's not going to happen. Stop believing those thoughts of depression and anxiety. You've done it for years and it didn't happen. It could, but it didn't. Trust God. So nothing that we do, nothing that I stand up here and do is from as Paul was saying, he's like, hey, nothing that we've imparted to you about the gospel is from human wisdom, because human wisdom neglects the things of the gospel. So what I'm telling you is from the power of the Holy Spirit working in me through God's grace, through the death of Jesus Christ. Like, this is not just something we conjured up and we got together. This gospel is from him. This is from him. He said, look, it is taught by the Spirit because we want to be able to interpret spiritual truth. So he wrote in verse 13, it says, look, we impart these in words, not taught by human wisdom, but taught by the Spirit, interpreting spiritual truths to those who are spiritual. I'm talking to people who can identify with me because they have the power of the Holy Spirit. And for those who can't identify with me, you are not at loss because Jesus can work through that through the power of the Holy Spirit. So I'm speaking to you in this context. Paul is actually talking to the church and he's saying, look, you can interpret spiritual truths because you have the Spirit of God. Listen, you are able to know the gospel. You have the capacity to live the gospel. You got the capacity to advance the gospel because of God's Spirit. We can. As a church, we can. The only thing that's standing in the way is us. Remember when I said that we can quench the Spirit? We can resist the Spirit? We can grieve the Spirit? That's us. That ain't the Spirit. That's the spirit of man and his capacity to be able to oppose what God has laid before him to go do and be. Let me close it down. The last few verses, we deal with this idea. And there's a lot of things that we can talk about in regard to the Spirit. We can talk about sensationalism, and we can talk about how people squelch down the Spirit and nothing about the Spirit is anything. We can talk about the place I like to be is just open but cautious. And I say that because cautious because I know that things can be done to manipulate. Open because I know that God is able to do all that he desires to do that's placed in Scripture. And so I'm always open to what God might be doing through the power of his Spirit. We'll talk about gifts and we'll talk about those things a little bit later. But here is what we want to see at Vintage. Here's the practicals. We want to see people who are empowered by the Holy Spirit. We want to see people that are counseled by the Holy Spirit. We want to see people who identify the Holy Spirit as helper. We want to see people walking in the Spirit. What I mean by that, so empowered by the Holy Spirit, it means that the authority to live the gospel in a way that's infectious everywhere you go. What I mean by counselor is that the Holy Spirit has been divinely trained. He is he's God, so he's the creator of emotions. The Holy Spirit has been divinely trained to be able to counsel you in any situation possible. Sometimes you just need to open the book, though. It's a lot of counsel in those 66 books. It's a lot of wisdom there that says a lot of things about God that can be beneficial towards us. And it also gives us a place of identity where we can really find who we are. The helper. The paraclete. I mentioned this before, but the paramedic, the parachute, right? These things come alongside to help and sustain in a journey. Right? You jump out of an airplane, you're taking a journey. It's a risky one, but you're taking a journey, and that journey is going straight down. And if you don't have a parachute, it's over for you, buddy. Ma'am, I'm sorry. You can lift all the weights you want, but gravity does not care about you. And when you hit that ground, it's over. And Jesus know that our life is like that. It's going down fast. You wake up in the morning and, right, it all breaks loose. And if you don't have the paraclete, the helper, the Holy Spirit to guide you into all truth and to place you into those places of good relationships with people, to check your heart, your mind, your will, and your emotions, it goes down fast. If you don't have that paramedic coming alongside from the journey of the injury, listen to what I'm saying, the journey of the injury to the place of health. If you don't have the Holy Spirit walking with you, you're going to bleed out. You got to have it. Walking in the Spirit is this. It's walking in love. It's walking in joy. It's walking peace. It's walking in patience and kindness and goodness and faithfulness and gentleness and self-control. Then the passions of the flesh have been crucified, meaning they have been done away with. Meaning that when they rise up, you remind them that they're dead. No, you're dead. Not the fact that they rise up. They're going to rise up. They're going to try to imitate Jesus all the time. Our old self always tries to emulate Jesus. It always tries to rise up. It always try to act like it ain't dead. But there's only one Jesus. And he's the only one who rose from the dead. So when the old flesh says, hey, I'm kind of like Jesus, you tell him, no, you still dead. And live in the newness of life in the Holy Spirit. This is what we want from Vintage, putting to death the natural person that doesn't get or actually wants the things of the Spirit. That means like we are not causing grief. And I'm not calling for perfection. I'm calling for submission. There's a difference, because when you submit, God will make you perfect. In fact, your position before him because of Jesus, you're already there. He's just calling you by faith to believe it so that you'll walk in it. So we're not grieving the Spirit. It's the argument that's laid out in Ephesians chapter 4, where we are literally intentionally acting like pagans. We're not grieving the Spirit, and that's in mind, heart, soul, and action. So we're not doing that. We're not quenching the Spirit. To quench the Spirit means that it's the sin of the insider. It is to despise the Word of God, and it is to disregard how that Word is engaging our conscience. And an example of this is quenching the Spirit. You hear God's truth, and it checks you, and you say, nah, not me. Or I'm not ready to deal with that. No, no, no. Follower of Jesus, you ain't supposed to quench the Spirit. You're supposed to submit to it. Not resisting. To resist the Spirit means to set oneself against the Word of God, whether it is read or heard. God didn't call us to do that. Instead, this is where we're supposed to be. Fully trusting the wisdom of God that he beforehand, right, that God had this wisdom beforehand for the life that we have right now to be empowered by the Holy Spirit that will sustain us to the future. God is not absent of wisdom. He possesses all wisdom. And our fear of him is the beginning of wisdom. God is with us. He is with us through the Holy Spirit to give us all that we need to live out the gospel and the life that he's called us to live. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, thank you for your grace and your mercy towards us. Lord, we are unworthy to even be mentioned as Paul wrote it, to the ones whose names are in heaven. God, I pray that anyone in this room who doesn't know you as Savior, that you'd begin to work on their hearts, that you begin to bring them to you through the power of your Spirit. God, I pray for those that do know you and who are struggling in this moment, whatever it may be, that you would, through the power of your Spirit and your Word, begin to encourage and challenge and develop and give insight and give focus and give meditation on the goodness that you've given us so that we might be able to continue the race. God, I pray you give us the wisdom of the Spirit, that we able to discern spiritual things. And in that passage, as it says, that the spiritual person can't be judged by anyone. Lord Jesus, as good as that might sound for some of us who may be spiritual, we know that you judge all things. And so whether somebody else is judging us or we are not able to be judged, however that may play out, at the end of the day, Lord, you judge everybody. Help us to live with that awareness that you are the judge. Help us, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.